Good morning. Oh, there we go. My name is Joyce Moore, and I'm glad to welcome you to the first week of the 29th year of Outpost. That's something to celebrate, is it not? As you know, Outpost is a sister to Northeast Women's Bible Study. Women gather all over northeastern and eastern Cincinnati, as well as northern Kentucky, to study God's Word throughout the school year. During the summer, however, there is a void, so consequently, Outpost was born, and 6 weeks during the summer, we get to gather to hear speakers and vocalists and scripture readers who share their love of the Lord and how God has worked in their lives. So we thank you in for a treat. Many of you today, I recognize, were also at Northeast Women's Bible Study Luncheon in May, and you heard that fascinating story of how God worked through obedient women to found both of these ministries. So once again, what an awesome God we serve and how he has birthed all that we see before us. Now, a few housekeeping details, if you haven't done so, and I'll check when I get back to my seat. Turn off your cell phones, please. You may, if you expect an emergency, I found out that the vibrate will work just fine to notify you. So it'll be great if you can turn those cell phones out. Also, restroom locations. If you go out the door here that most of you came in, there are signs that will point you to a restroom to the left, along the left wall, and to the right, and just kind of jog a little bit. I feel kind of like a flight attendant. This is our little test run. I don't think I'm tall enough, but oh well, we won't go there. The book table, if many of you have perused already, is at the back, and those books are free for your taking. It's great to have a moment to peruse them. You may find as you go home this week and want to come back next week that you've got a book that you'd like to share. You're welcome to bring it. That will help you purge a little bit. Also, then there is a side table right close to the door. You see Pretty Pat and her orange. The table's close to her. And on that table, you'll find several things, one of which is a sign-up sheet. If you'd like to get a copy of or sign up for our speaker's blog, you can do so there. There's also outpost schedules for both Ohio and Northern Kentucky. You might be interested in knowing that Northern Kentucky, which is a Monday night rather than during the morning when we meet, they moved to a new location this year, and they welcomed 184 women Monday night. So we'll celebrate with our sisters. Again, if you were at the luncheon, you know about another sister or daughter, whatever, outpost, which is called Oasis in Northern Ohio. And we have Esther Campanella and her daughter, Carla, are both here. If you want to just wave your hands. Their Oasis started this week, too. So you may fill us in on that a minute, too. Finally, on the back table, you will see a box for donations. This is a volunteer-run organization, and there are certainly expenses to defray, including the rental of our beautiful facility that we get to use, child care, and last but not least, that also important coffee. It makes me wish I drank coffee because it smells good, but just can't do it. There are certainly many who make this morning happen. And first, I would like to recognize what a lovely facility we have. And Carla Wood, who is the board president for MVCA, is going to welcome us to our first of the season. Summer.
Well, we do welcome you all here at the Academy. It's wonderful. As I was driving in, I was thinking, you know, this place is full of the gospel all year long. And with you all here, we have a great cloud of witnesses even through the summer. So I just thank you. And on behalf of the Academy staff and the board, we welcome you. And we're glad that you're here. You know, and just to talk a little bit about our wonderful academy, we do have kids from preschool all the way through 12th grade. I have two children that graduated from here, and my youngest is going to be a senior next year. And we just absolutely love this place. It is filled with godly people, godly teachers, and wonderful families. And I asked them to put a couple of pieces of literature about the academy out on a table in the hall. So if any of you have children or grandchildren and you'd like to come and visit us and have the kids come and tour or do a shadow day, we welcome you. We just love this place, and it produces such great fruit, and you all are part of that, and we just thank you and welcome you today.
Thanks,
I guess a side benefit is if you go here, you can shop in their shop, and her shirt came from there. Looks so cool on Carla. Not sure it'd be the same look on me, so good thing I don't have any little kids, I suppose. We also want to give a huge thank you to the committee that works throughout the year to make this happen seamlessly. I would like, therefore, to have Danny Frappier, who is the chairman of our Outpost Committee, and all Outpost Committee women, please stand up so that we can give you a round of applause. Now, speaking of Danny Frappier, those of you who have been involved with Outpost over the years know that this represents a change. For the last 15 to 20 years, do I need to go a little higher? I'm hearing that we... Okay, I'll just swallow this a little more. For the last 15 to 20 years, we have had the pleasure and privilege of having Sherry Wilkerson serve as our Outpost chairperson. So I'm going to ask Danny and Sherry to please come forward right now. I promised them they wouldn't have to speak, but they look lovely, so... I think you can't help, I'm a sports addict, so I always, not really addict, but I do love sports. The passing of the baton, I was on a relay team in track for a long time, and that was a pretty significant kind of thing. So, Sherry, we're asking you to pass the baton to Danny.
Thank you.
Stay here a minute. Certainly, we covet your prayers for both of these women. Sherry, as I said, has been here since the beginning. She first was a part of the program when Pat Jones was the chairperson who established the program, and then as the chairperson. So we would be remiss if we didn't recognize you and give you a little token of our appreciation.
Thank you.
There you go.
You can't leave yet. Even though I told her she didn't have to talk, I can talk about her, right? Any of you who know Sherry know that she epitomizes what it is to be a servant leader. I have been privileged to be connected with Sherry and to have had her dedication just shine through. But more than anything, I want you to know that what Sherry does, she does for her Lord and Savior. And she does it so that other people will come to know him too. So, Sherry, we will be honoring you again with a little more significant gift later. But for now, enjoy that beautiful plant.
Thank you.
Now that we have some of the introductory information accomplished, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we certainly look forward to what you have in store for us this morning. We know that you have already woven together the fellowship, scripture, music, and message. We ask that you clear our minds of distractions, that you open our eyes and ears to what you would have us see and hear. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who died that we might have eternal life. Amen. Hasn't it been a particularly lush and beautiful spring? I think maybe somebody said it was because the winter wasn't as harsh that we could enjoy this luxurious time of the year. This morning, wasn't it great? That just, no humidity, and this is Cincinnati. It was just invigorating to walk out. I particularly enjoy those smells and sights and sounds of spring, especially the smell of lilacs and roses. Maybe you have your favorite too. As I think about that, I look at the flowers on the table, and there again, that was provided by committee members who also welcomed you and had food for you before we started. And I think of those flowers and that fragrance, it makes me think of other sweet aromas. Like, do you like the smell of the air when it rains in April? Love that smell. Even freshly mown grass, taking the allergies away, or that's a pretty great thing too. I could not go through this without mentioning fresh chocolate chip cookies, which we all love. So all of those are wonderful smells and scents, but you know, there's some not so pleasant scents too. This weekend we got to take a spur of the moment trip to West Virginia to see one of our grandsons play soccer. Unfortunately, as we left to come to Ohio and they took off in the opposite direction, I looked back and saw there was the soccer bag that he needed, that our grandson needed for his next game. Uh-oh. Well, I thought, I'll check quick to see if there's anything really significant that I need to get to him. So I opened up the soccer bag. Now, that was a mistake. That was a mistake. There is nothing like dirty, stinky, smelly soccer socks. If you don't want to smell something, don't sniff there. That also made me think, too, that what do I smell like? Not just literally, but figuratively. Am I a sweet aroma or am I stinky soccer socks? As we are told in 2 Corinthians 2:15, as the Apostle Paul says, we are the aroma of Christ, spreading his fragrance everywhere. We are to spread this aroma through our words and our actions. So as we go from this place today, let those beautiful smelling flowers be a reminder to us that we need to be a sweet aroma for the Lord, not stinky soccer socks. So without further ado, let's hear what these women have in store for us today. It's my privilege, first of all, to introduce to you Melody Hamilton, who will be doing our scripture. She's been married 27 years to Trevor. They have two sons. Xander is a freshman at UK, and Logan is a freshman at Indian Hill High School. They recently adopted their second rescue dog, Dixie. Melody is the director of connections and first impressions at Horizon Community Church. She has taught several Bible studies. She also volunteers at Habitat for Humanity, the Ronald McDonald House, local reading improvement programs, and even finds time to be the president of her local PTO. Among her hobbies are writing, reading, herb gardening, I think that's fascinating, just pinch and you have a meal, and soccer. Our vocalist today is Shannon Whitaker. Now, you may have noticed in your brochure it was going to be Shannon and her daughter Maddie, but Maddie had an unexpected complication, so we will enjoy Shannon and pray for Maddie. When Shannon was 17 years old, she was in a neighbor's home and prayed, repented, and received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She says, however, that that really didn't show her how to, or she didn't completely understand how to live a new life in Christ. But after that time, she rededicated herself to the Lord. That was after she'd been married at 18, divorced at 22, and had been a single mom, which brings both joy and pain. She then found and met and married her wonderful husband, who is Matt Whitaker. They have three daughters, Heather, Claire, and Madison, and four lovely granddaughters. Music is just the lifeline for them. They have a passion for it. Matt and Shannon have both been a part of worship ministries. Matt is the drummer, and Shannon has been lead vocalist and worship team leader. So we're in for a treat. She also joyfully serves as children's pastor at Ambassadors Point Community Church here in Cincinnati. Yet family remains at the heart of everything that she values and does. So please welcome with me Shannon and Melody.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you today. Being a children's pastor for 25 plus years, I'm used to seeing lots littler faces in this room. I come down here and do chapels for the kiddos on Fridays, which is a delight, let me tell you. And it's so loud in here when they're in here. So I don't quite know what to do. But anyway, I'd like to sing a song with you this morning. I think some of you may know it. And I woke up with it on my heart a couple days ago. And even when we were praying in the background, someone said, "Lead me to the cross." So I'd like to sing that. Go ahead, Miss Lisa. Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember redemption's hill where your blood was spilled for my ransom, and everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. And rid me of myself, I belong to you. Lead me to the cross. Thank you, Lord. You were as I, tempted and tried, human. The Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're risen, and everything I once held dear, I count it all as a loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me to the cross. Lead me, Lord, yes, to your heart. Lead me to your heart, your heart. Lead me to your heart. I need you, Jesus. Draw me to your heart. Lead me to your heart. Oh, Jesus, I want to know your heart. Yes, lead me to your sweet heart. Lead me to your heart, oh yes. Lead where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Lead me, lead us to your cross. Amen.
Good morning. Hopefully everyone can hear me okay. I have the pleasure and the honor to do our scripture reading for today, and I just have to tell you, with what we prayed about earlier and what we're singing about, it so goes with the scriptures that God put on my heart. Isn't that amazing how that happens every single time? Thank you, Jesus. I want to talk about love, is what my scriptures talk about, and it started with a saying from my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and it was this: honey, sometimes you just have to love them with the love of the Lord. Now, as I was younger, didn't quite get that because I loved everybody. They were great. Everybody was sweet. Then I got my first pain. Then I got my first hurt. I got my first offended, you know, and then I started closing off my heart a little bit, and I wouldn't see someone that was suffering or hurting, or I didn't notice that person sitting by themselves, or I didn't give them a smile, and I certainly wasn't reflecting Christ's love and his light, because the love was not always in my heart. And so that started on something that he put on my heart, to just have more love and show that to everybody that he put across my path. And so the first scripture that I want to share with you is 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. That's it. You don't have to check a box. You don't have to make straight A's. You don't have to have the perfect house. You don't have to be the perfect wife or mother. He just loves because he first loved us. And then we're going to go to another book of John, which is John 13:34-35. 34, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So also, you must love one another. I don't know if we have any other school teachers in the room, but man, he said that twice in one verse. I think we need to pay attention. Love one another. Verse 35. By this, all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love to one another. Again, he repeated it. And so I think it's so fitting because that we're talking about connecting. And one of the best ways to connect with the hurts of this world, the best way to be a disciple for Christ, is let your heart be full of his love, not my love. You don't want Melody's love, because it does come with strings. It's impatient. Sometimes it's angry. Sometimes I'm just too busy. But you always, always want to have his love in your heart and reflect that. And that's the best way for all of us to be connected to him and to each other. Thank you.
I'd like to reiterate what she said about how everything flows seamlessly. And we couldn't get together and plan it like this, I don't think. But when you let God connect the dots, that's what results. I was impressed by just the prayerful way Shannon sang that song. And a reminder that this ministry is definitely bathed in prayer. And we covet your prayers too. And then Melody so easily and succinctly, just, it's about love, isn't it? And we can be that light. We can be that sweet fragrance, too. It's indeed a pleasure for me to next introduce to you our speaker, Carla Gasser, who is the daughter of our dear friend that we've announced before. So we are just glad to welcome both Esther and Carla here. I'd like to give you a little background. They certainly get the award today for coming the farthest. And next week, our vocalist comes from Vietnam, so I don't think you could beat that. But Carla has been a faithful and multi-talented lady as she has used God's gifts in speaking, teaching, and writing for 10 years in the Northeast Ohio area. She blogs on her website at the Crossroads. There's a sign up there, which I mentioned before. I really encourage you to get on that blog site. It's really fun to read. And just very insightful. Thank you, Carla, for sharing that with us. She writes for online magazines, contributes to several inspirational blogs, and has authored a few short books. She speaks at keynote speaker. She speaks at Christian retreats and workshops and for community organizations. Carla shares that she, I quote, writes and speaks about the messy, ordinary, and unexpected ways her life and her faith intersect. Other passions include storytelling and connection. And she believes that when people share their stories in truth and authenticity, they can encourage, inspire, and challenge one another. She also mentors young women. She volunteers at a local outreach to victims of sex trafficking, teaches Bible studies, serves in women's ministry at her church, and hosts, as I mentioned before, Oasis, the summer ministry outreach that is similar to our own outpost. So, when not teaching, speaking, or writing, what does she do? I don't know how she has time left. However, first and foremost, she's a wife and a mother of four busy children in Hudson, Ohio. She says they take their job of keeping her humble and grounded very seriously. Sound familiar to anybody? Of course, she gets back at them as she talks about dancing and singing in the car, which embarrasses kids always. It's just kind of a perk we get as a mom, isn't it? Carla's been married for 27 years to her childhood friend and high school sweetheart, Michael. She feels very blessed to have such a loving, generous, and level-headed best friend who supports all of her endeavors. It does take a team, doesn't it, Carla? Carla certainly acknowledges that she, like we, is a work in progress, but she seeks fellow connectors and travelers on her journey. I think that as you listen to Carla, you will hear her heart and will agree with me that she is humble, accomplished, talented, humorous, entertaining, and informative. So please join me in welcoming Carla as she shares how to reconnect when feeling disconnected. Thank you.
I'm a little taller here, so I'm going to push that up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. My mom and I have had that battle our whole lives. She always said to me in the dressing room, you can wear anything because you're tall. And I said, well, and I have a daughter who's kind of petite, so I think she takes more after her mom. Well, thank you so much for having me. I always get a little embarrassed during the opening time there because that makes me sound like I do more and I'm more accomplished than I really am, and you need to know the real me. And the real me is my daughter saying to me, I think you should curl your hair because it looks better. And the real me is at my Oasis event. I was rushing out of the house so quickly when we had our Oasis event just on Tuesday evening, and the Lord blessed us with 110 women. So I'm just so thankful for that. When I get there, I'm pushing my hair back, and my daughter's with me again, my little stylist, and I have two different earrings in. So every time I speak or do something, I think the Lord just has something like that happen. So if you notice anything on me today, it's just the Lord's way of making me humble, you know, because I know you're looking at me, and there could be something totally wrong here. So it's okay. It keeps me humble, and it keeps me real, but before I start, I just want to say thank you. Number one, thank you to all of you in the Outpost team for your inspiration to start Oasis in Ohio. I think the first time I attended Outpost, Mom, was over 15 years ago when I had tiny little kids. And when my mom moved back to Cincinnati 14 years ago, I just kept saying to her, why don't we do something like that up here, Mom?
And we did, and the Lord gave us the vision, but the vision was from you. So when you asked me to come and speak, I was more than honored to come and speak to give back to you what you have given to us. And we do it a little differently, but it's the very same concept. And the concept for me is about outreach. It's about connecting women. And that is such the heart of my ministry, is connection. So I just love that that's what you're doing here, and that's what we're doing up here, up in Northeast Ohio, and we can connect. So thank you, Dani. You've been great to work with. She was so answering all of my questions, responded so promptly, so I thank her. I thank Sherry Wilkerson, because not only does she all do this great stuff here, she's a wonderful hostess, and I'm staying at her home while I'm here, so I really appreciate that. And of course, I have to thank my mom. Number one, I wouldn't be here. So we have to go way back. But also, my mom's just been a mentor and a guide for me, and just an encouragement and inspiration. If you know you need a cheerleader, you know, supporting what you do, my parents are the best. So thanks, Mom, and thanks for bringing me and being supportive here. So let me just begin when we start talking about connection here, just by asking you a few questions. The first question I would ask you, and you can raise your hand if you want, or if you're kind of shy and you don't want to raise your hand, that's fine as well. Just think for a moment with me. How many of you came today to Outpost because a friend invited you, or you knew a friend would be here? How many of you came because of that? Okay. How many of you hesitated coming this morning because you didn't know anyone here, or the friend you were planning on coming with for some reason couldn't come, right? I think as women, not only do we go to the bathroom together all the time, right? We love that. It still mystifies my boys that my daughter and I always go to the bathroom together. But we are connected in the fact that we like to do things together. And you know what? Research backs that up. It really does. Not only does the Bible, and God, I believe, created us with this DNA that's in us that says we are supposed to connect. God created us for connection. You know, when Adam was alone in the garden, that was the only thing God said wasn't good, was that he was alone, that he needed someone, that he needed that connection. But research and science also bears this out. A UCLA neuroscientist, Matthew Lieberman, writes in his book, and again, this is a secular man, "Our need to connect with others is as basic as our need for food, water, and shelter. Being socially connected is our brain's lifelong passion." And he goes on to say that all of our institutions, whether it's government or the military or our schools or our healthcare system, would be better if they were structured with this desire, with this need that people need to connect. And in our contentious society right now, couldn't we use a little bit more connection and a lot less division and separation? But I think we as women know this inherently, don't we? I love to go to a dinner party or a cocktail party or any kind of social gathering where there's men and women, and I'm with my husband, right? Because you see two guys go up to each other to introduce each other if they haven't met before. And what's the number one question that men ask each other? What do you do? You all said it, right? Because men define themselves by their work, okay? But as women, when we start introducing each other, we want to know, are you a wife? Are you a mother? Do you have kids? Who are you here with? Who are your friends? We all talk about connections, because that's how we define ourselves, by the strength of our connections. And research backs this up, that women with strong, healthy connections do better. And another book that I highly recommend, it's called Grown Up Girlfriends by Carrie Oliver and Erin Smalley, which are Christian authors. She says that in the workplace during stressful times, males isolate while women congregate. Also, that the hormone oxytocin, we all kind of know what that does, right, is released as part of the stress response in women. It buffers our fight or flight response and encourages women to gather together and to take care of each other during stressful times. How many of you, when something stressful or bad happens in your day, your first response is to call someone, right? We want to share the pain.
We don't want to be disconnected when something's going wrong. And they say that when women do that, more oxytocin is released, and that has a calming effect on us. Another study underscoring the importance of friendships was conducted by David Spiegel, and he studied the survival rate of women with breast cancer. He found that those women who had strong supportive circle of friends outlived many years their counterparts who lived in social isolation. So I can go on and giving you more statistics, but I want you to know that this is really true in our experience, but science proves it, and so does the Bible. It says healthy female connection lead to longer life, better odds of surviving serious medical events, and less chance of developing depression. So what about the opposite of that when we're feeling disconnected, right? We can be depressed, we can be anxious, we can be unfocused, unproductive. The truth and the power of being disconnected hit home to me when my oldest son left for college. I do have 4 children. My oldest is 21, and my youngest is going to be 14. So this was first for our whole family. And in a family of 4, we are very close, very tight-knit family. My number one fear as a mother sending my son off to college was what? Disconnection, right? How am I going to stay connected with him? How am I'm going to know what he's going on? Is he eating enough? Does he know how to do his laundry? Is he doing okay? And so is he getting up in the morning? Because he never got up for school on time. How in the world? Is his roommate going to wake him up? What is this going to happen? So I was really quite nervous about this. And so, of course, back then, when I went to college, all we had was a landline. Did I have a phone in my room? I think I called my parents once a week, right? But now, with technology, my other son that was at home said, Mom, I have a great idea for us to stay connected with Drew while he's at college. He goes, we'll form a group text. Okay, back then, I had no idea what that is. And even now, I bug my kids with the group text. But I love it because everybody's on it. We can all see what we're doing. So when he set this group text up, I was like, this is so cool. We can stay connected. And so it started, and I was on the text, I thought, and my husband and my 3 boys. My daughter at that time did not have a phone. She was too young. So you can imagine the trash talking and the funny things that went back between my sons and my husband and the brothers going on and on. And I thought, this is so cool. But every once in a while, I would try to put my little joke in or add my thing, and no one ever responded to me. And I was like, wow, I'm kind of out of it, you know? And so I tried to up the ante, like be a little funnier, sent some emoticons, you know, thought, I'm going to get hip with this. My son never responded. So I took this for, 3 days before I started freaking out. And I said to my other son, I said, what is going on? Like, Drew responds, Drew's the one at college. I said, Drew's responding to you and Dad, and you're laughing and making these jokes, and he's telling you what's going on, but he never responds to me. He's like, oh, yeah, Mom, I wanted to talk to you about that. I don't think you're connecting. Not connecting? What? This is my son that I felt like we were kindred spirits. How can I not be connecting with him? So, again, I took it for a few more days. And I tried, again, to keep texting, to do something. I think my husband even said, settle down. You know, you're looking a little crazy here. So I finally called him. I thought, I can't take this anymore. So I called him and I said, hey, can we talk for a minute? And I'm just going to read you a little transcript of how that conversation went. Me. Hey, how are you? How's college life? What have you been up to? What's going on? Son. Great. Good. Not much. You get it. Okay. Me. Really? Is that it? Do you have anything else to tell me? Son. No, not really. It's all good, Mom. Are you okay? Me. Okay, I'm fine, but I think I need to talk to you about something. Why don't you respond to any of my texts? You respond to your brothers and your dad. You're funny. You're telling them what's going on. Why not me? Son. Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk to you about that. I'm glad you brought it up. I don't think we're connecting. Heart crush. Like, what? And I said, not connecting? Really? What do you mean? What am I doing wrong? Am I asking too many questions? Am I nagging? Am I bothering you? Is that why you're not responding? Do you need your space? Am I doing too much? And the mom thinks that. And this probably went on for 2 to 3 more minutes before he said, laughing out loud at me, like I couldn't even hear him because he's laughing. Settle down, Mom. It's not that. What I meant was that I think something is wrong with your phone or your settings because I've not seen or received any of the text you've sent in the group message. I didn't even know you were a part of the group. Oh, I see. Thank God you said that because I was going to do something pretty drastic like drive down this weekend and bring you home from college. But just like that, have you ever been in that place of feeling disconnected? And if you can't even figure it out why, it really hurts. Or you can speculate. And then you go to some really deep and dark places, don't you? And so I thought about the words that are associated with disconnection. You know, you feel detached, separated, isolated, alone, disengaged, divorced, cut off, apart. And those words hurt and they sting. And so maybe you're here today and you're feeling disconnected in some part of your life. Maybe you're feeling disconnected from your friends or your family and you're really craving meaningful interactions with others. Maybe you're struggling to connect your passion and your purpose. You know what you love and you want to do, but you don't know how to make that work, to make an impact. Maybe you're feeling ineffective. Maybe you realize that your vertical connection with God is weak, and you can't seem to hear his voice anymore. You feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling, or you don't feel his presence in his life, and you wonder if he's there, and you wonder if he cares. I think that at any point in our lives, we're struggling with some form of disconnection. Why? Because we're broken and fallen people, right? And from that moment in the garden that I talked about, the vertical connection first was broken with God, and then that affected all of our horizontal connections as well. And so we know that there are dysfunctional connections, broken connections, bad connections, weak connections. We see it in our world all the time, right? You try to call someone and they're breaking up and I can't hear you. I think we have a bad connection. Or you go into the shower and four kids have already taken their showers and you're wondering, where is the hot water for my shower? Well, there's some kind of connection maybe faulty with my hot water tank. Or you go to start your car and it turns over. Those are all real world connections that we need and we depend on. But I think the connections with God and with others go much deeper. And when those are somehow faulty or dysfunctional or lacking, we lose joy, we lose hope, we lose purpose, we lose faith, and our lives seem like they're spinning out of control. So that's what I want to talk about today, is how do we reconnect when we're feeling disconnected in any area of our lives. And I think we have to start first at the place of connection, just thinking about where does it come from? Where's the source? How do we start? Then how do we walk the path of connection with purpose and meaning and intentionality? And then lastly, which is so important for us as women, and goes back to the song that was sung this morning and the verses that relate, how do we become people of connection? Because that is so crucial that when we walk out of here to be connectors in our lives, with our families, with our friends, in our sphere of influence. So let's start with the place of connection. My ministry is called At the Crossroads, and my kids tease me about that all the time. It is merciless. When I tell you my kids keep me humble, you know, I bought this little Celtic cross because I thought it kind of looked like the crossroads. And my kids will say to me, if I'm talking, and I just use that term a lot to them, I said, well, I think you're at a crossroads in your life. They're like, meet me at the crossroads, Mom. Should we meet at the crossroads, Mom? How about at the crossroads, Mom? You know? So I cannot take myself too seriously when I say at the crossroads, but it is the foundation of my ministry, and it comes from a verse in Jeremiah 6:16. And I'm going to read the Message version for you. It says, go stand at the crossroads and look around. Ask for directions to the old road, the tried and true road, then take it. Discover the right route for your souls. So we're standing here at the crossroads, and it's the place, to me, where my faith and my life intersect, is at the crossroads. And the first and crucial step to connecting or reconnecting is making this all-important vertical connection with God. That's where we all need to start, because if you are not connected first vertically, then all of your connections horizontally are going to be faulty because you're not connected to the source. Does that make sense? So I'll talk to you a little bit about my life and how that happened for me. I was raised in a Christian home with two loving, godly parents. I don't even really remember a time that I did not know about Jesus, who he was, that he died for me, and that he loved me, okay? But there came a crossroads in my life, as it does in all our life, where that couldn't be my parents, what my parents believed anymore. It needed to be what I believed. I needed to own my faith. And I did so when I was in high school and college, and even as a young married woman. But this is how my life looked. And I'll call this the big disconnect. I looked at my life like a pie, okay? And I had sections of my life. And God was a big part of my life. He might have been the biggest part. He might have been that purple section there, but I kept him in this part of my life. Do you know what I mean by that? I compartmentalized. I segmented. Yes, I did the Christian things. I went to church. I read my Bible. I did Bible study. I did things for God, but I kept him there. And what I mean by that, when it came to my career as a teacher, when it came to some of my friendships, even my marriage, I thought I had those things handled. So I said to God, well, you're in this little section, but I've got these sections handled, so I don't really need you. Right? It wasn't that I was outright rejecting God in my life. I was just trying to say that you have this place here and I've got all of this. But as we grow older, right, we face loss and disappointment and hurt and pain. And it started happening in those other areas of my life. And then I turned around and said, well, God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me in my marriage or with my kids or with this? Who had disconnected? Me. Not God. I had decided. And, you know, the irony of me saying, where are you, when I had said, no, you stay in this little section. What I started learning through reading more, praying more, being mentored by godly women, watching, that I couldn't look at my life as a pie anymore. My life had to look like a wheel, right? And the place of connection is the center of that wheel. And that had to inform everything, my relationship with God. And so that's why the crossroads became so meaningful to me. Because when you want to take a path of connection, you have to first be connected at the right place. Because if you're connected at the wrong place, you're not going to choose the right path or connect with the right people. So I had to start looking at my life and saying, okay, God, you're in the center. And then all those spokes that come out of that wheel, my family, my career, my ministry, my friendships, my volunteer work, my job as a teacher, all of those things have to be informed by you. And so that's where I think we need to start when we look at the place of connection, is we need to start with saying, asking yourself these questions, have you compartmentalized your life like I did? If so, what areas might you need to give back to God today? Might you say, you know what, you do have control over my marriage or over my money or over my free time or over my job. Are you seeking God and his guidance at the crossroads on a daily basis, right? Or are we just saving that for one part of our life? And lastly, is your faith just a part of your life, or have you made it the center of your life? I heard someone describe it one time as not just making Jesus your Savior, but making him your Lord. There's a difference, right? Yes, he saves us by his grace through faith in him, but have we really put him on the throne, or are we still kind of nudging him out? So that's the place of connection. Then we move on to the path of connection. This is where we discover our passion, our purpose. Once we're connected to the source, again, imagine yourself standing at the crossroads and going, okay, I feel connected to God. I feel that that relationship is strong. What do I do now? And I was just talking to my son about this past week. He said, well, you know, how do you know which road to take? How do you know that? And sometimes it's not only a question of good versus bad or right versus wrong, but it's better versus best. And let me tell you, those are the hardest choices to make, right? We can sometimes filter out good, bad. Okay, that's a bad road. I should not be walking down that road. But then when you look at two roads that kind of, like Robert Frost's poem, I took the road less traveled. I taught that so many years as a high school English teacher. The kids thought, at the first reading of that poem, all my students thought that one road was good and one road was bad. No. If you read that poem, they're just different. And no matter which one you take, you're going to have a different experience. So when you're standing there, then how do I choose a path of connection? How do I choose the best path of connection for me? Well, if you're like me, a little bit on the control freak side, as you heard from my earlier story about my son, type A, whatever, I want a roadmap, right? I love my GPS. I love that it tells me how many minutes it's going to take me. You know, the traffic. Now, have any of you heard of Waze? I love Waze even better. Waze is awesome. It gives you the estimated time. It gives you traffic. It gives you the turns. I love that. And I'm really bad with directions. So it's a savior for me. And my kids now say, Mom, please put the Waze on. Because they know I'm going to get lost without it. But you know what? Trusting and following the path of connection for God isn't like that. I wish it was. I wish there was a roadmap for every detour, every sign, every pothole, every turn up ahead. But you know, the scripture tells us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you're walking down a dark path with just a lamp, how far can you see ahead? Just the next step. Just the next step. And that's where trusting and obeying comes in. One of my favorite verses in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. It's not always a roadmap. It's sometimes doing the next right thing, taking the next right step. There were times in my life when I had four kids under the age of five where, to me, I couldn't make it to 10 o'clock some mornings. It was difficult. Or making it to Target and back with three boys pulling down every rack in the store and, you know, the people eyeing me, I thought, how am I going to do this? And I remember a godly woman in my life, a mentor, said to me, all you need to do, Carla, is think about taking the next right step. And she goes, some days, the next right step is making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And that's okay. And so sometimes we get stuck at the crossroads in our lives because we want that map. We want to know where we're going, and we want the Lord to just lay it out for us. And when he doesn't, we just stand there. And what he's asking us to do is to take the next right step. Proverbs 4, 25, and 26 encourages us, look straight ahead, fix your eyes on what lies before you, mark out a straight path for your feet, and stay on the safe path. So it's taking the next right step. The other thing about the path of connection is understanding that God has a unique path for you. Okay? We get so caught up as women in comparing, don't we? And I'll talk about that when I get to the people of connection. But we look at other women and say, why can't I sing like her? You don't want me to sing. I can speak, but you don't want me to open my mouth and sing. But see, that's the path he's given her. And the path he's given me looks different. And so I talk a lot about staying in your lane. And that never was more profound to me than one day when I was in the Fitbit craze and trying to get those 10,000 steps every day. Remember that? I don't do that so much anymore, but I do love to walk. My daughter was at a dance class, and I thought, I'm only at 7,000 steps. You know, I got to get a 3,000 in. So she dances like in a strip mall, you know, park. So there's no place to walk or even the parking lot. So I had to drive and find a place to walk. And I found this park, and it had a gravel track. It looked almost like a high school running track, but it was just gravel, and it was in an oval. Well, it was a beautiful summer evening, and tons of people were out. So I jumped in to the lane, and it wasn't very wide. And, you know, I see a family up ahead of me, and I have to kind of pass them. There's a biker whizzing behind me telling me, you know, on your left, or on your right, you know, move over. And then a woman comes in with her little stroller, and I slow down to talk to her and look at the baby.
And what the Lord kept whispering to me in those moments that I was alone on that track was, Carla, stay in your lane. It doesn't matter who's ahead. It doesn't matter who's behind. You don't have to worry about them. You have to walk out the map. You have to walk the path I've mapped out for you. And that other verse that is so powerful to me is in Proverbs 16:9. It tells us we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And I came up with an acrostic about staying in your lane that helped me focus on this. And it's seeking God first. I use the letters of stay and lane. Take it one step at a time. Accept the specific plan God has for your life. Don't worry about anybody else or what they're doing. Yield to others on the path with grace. Listen to God's voice as he guides. And shut out the distractions and the people that might be telling you things that will get you off the path. Ask others for support and encouragement. Navigate the obstacles by staying fixed and focused, even though you might not see them up ahead. And expect great things as you continue to connect what God's called you to do on the path of connection. Lastly, I want to talk about the people of connection. And I speak about this section alone a lot. I'm giving you the whole thing, but I have spoken about connection to Christian groups, to business groups, to women. And most recently, I spoke about connection to a group of men and women business leaders. And I was scared. I was so out of my comfort zone, and I thought these businessmen are going to look at me and say, what in the world can you little girl tell me about connection? And that's not how you get ahead in the business world, right? And after I went through this, and I used people instead of, I used the terms here, girls and women, but I used people, the biggest guy in the back of the room stood up during the Q&A time, and I thought, here it comes. He is going to slay me. He is just going to ask a question. And all he did was stand up and start clapping. And I, you know, was kind of put off by that. And he said, we need more of this in the workplace. And it just really, and I spoke on Moody Radio up in Cleveland. And again, a lot of men were listening to that show. And I had a few of my friends, their husbands told them, you know, Carla needs to speak about this, not just to women, because this is a man thing too, this whole idea of connection. On the surface, it might seem easy for us to be able to connect. If I told you at the beginning that God created us and it's in our DNA to connect, then it should be natural and simple, right? But in my ministry and in the women I counsel and the women I mentor, a lot of them do not have a great vertical connection with God because of the pain and hurt of horizontal connections with others. Does that make sense? That a lot of time they cannot get this vertical connection because the horizontal connections in their life have caused them so much pain and distrust that they don't want to connect with God. And that makes me so very sad. And as Christians, we need to change that. We need to become women of connection that show the light and the love of God so that they do want to connect to the source. I think as women, we struggle with this even more than men do, for sure. And we have a choice to make. We can disconnect or connect. We can exclude or include. We can sever or join. We could divide or unite. We can separate or attach. We can burn bridges or build them. My youngest daughter just finished middle school. How many of you would like to return there? No. And let me tell you, so much harder with social media, so much harder with the pressures. But as I've counseled her and guided her, and we've talked a lot about what it means to be a girl of division versus a woman of connection, I said, honey, it doesn't change too much. I deal with the same things, even though you think I should be well beyond it. On both sides of the equation, I'm not standing here saying to you I am a perfect woman of connection that always does it right, because I don't. I've been a girl of division too. But we're going to take a look at the difference between girls of division versus women of connection. As I said earlier, I think girls of division compare. We as women are great at comparing, and I don't think anything's off the list, right? We compare our houses, our jobs, our children, our other friends, our bodies, our clothes, everything we compare. And there's only two places to go when you compare, right? You could either feel better than as you're walking down that path of connection going, look at me, I have got it together compared to her. You know, look at all the baggage she's dragging. She's not even on the path. She's huffing and puffing. I've got it going on, right? Or I can look at you ahead of me on the path and say, I'm worthless. I can't do anything. I can barely get up and brush my teeth in the morning. This woman has, you know, all this stuff done by 10 o'clock, right? You can feel better than and less than. Both of those are dangerous places to be, okay, as a girl of division. A woman of connection instead champions other women. She believes in the quote that Mother, I think, comes from Mother Teresa, I can do things you cannot. You can do things I cannot. Together, we can do great things. A woman of connection champions, she protects, she defends, she advocates, she endorses, she helps others on the journey because she realizes and is secure in where God's put her on the path and her relationship with God, that she can stay in her lane and be a source of encouragement to other women. And that's what we want to be. We want to be champions of other women. Next, girls of division compete. And why is it so easy to move from comparison to competition? Well, because if you're feeling better than when you're comparing, you got to work really hard to stay up there, girl, don't you? You got to keep moving. You got to keep hustling because you're thinking, those people are coming up behind me and I got to still look good. So I better compete to stay ahead. Or if you feel less than, then you're constantly striving and struggling to be something that you're not and something that God has called you to be. Have you ever thought some of these things or even gasped, said them out loud? Well, she may be a hands-on, committed, and fun mom, but I'm a much better homemaker. My house is always clean. Okay, they spend their money on fancy clothes and vacations, but we're saving it for our kids' education. She only has that figure because she works out for hours at the gym every day. I can't afford to spend that kind of time and effort because I put my family first. She only got that promotion because she's a workaholic and she's willing to work crazy hours and travel all the time. I'm better, and so is my family, because I know my priorities. If those sting, if you've heard them before, or if even you've said them yourself, you're moving into that scary place of competition, right? And competition destroys connection. Why in the world would I want to connect with someone who I see as my rival or my competitor, right? I think of my boys playing football. They get the other team's plan and film the week before, and then my sons will tell me, that's the guy, Mom. I got to go for that guy. He's not shaking his hand and saying, let's go grab something after the game. He's there to take him out, right? That's a competitor, right? So if you're in a place of competition, connection really cannot happen. So you instead need to be a woman of connection, which cooperates. They have learned the truth of Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, and I'm going to read it from the Message. It's better to have a partner than to go it alone. Share the work, share the wealth, and if one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, tough. By yourself, you're unprotected, and with a friend, you can face the worst. Women of connection understand that to form genuine, lasting, and strong horizontal connections on the path, they need to be people that work with others instead of against them. And, you know, back in the room when we prayed before and everybody on the outpost team introduced themselves to me and told me what they did, I thought, what a picture of connection. All these women saying, we're cooperating together to reach a goal, and I have gifts, and I have skills and talents that I can bring to the table that you don't, but you have gifts and talents and resources to bring to the table that I can't. But together, look at what they've done. This is a picture of connection. Lastly, girls of division criticize. Ouch. And it's very easy to move from competition to criticism because it's our easy go-to when we fail. I think a lot of women, when we're trapped, we open our mouths. And that's how we start taking others down. I do it myself. I'm not up here to say I don't. Here's the dictionary definition of criticizing: the act of expressing disapproval, of noting the problems or the faults of a person, a remark or a comment that is intended to bring someone down. Okay? Again, when some of our conversations start with phrases such as, I can't believe that she, I would never, did you hear? She really should. We're starting to criticize, okay? Here's some things that happen when you become a critic. Number one, you display your own ego and insecurity. People who criticize are the most insecure people. At least that's what I have found. Okay? Second of all, you have now set the standard by which you will be judged. Let me tell you something. Every time I've been in a grocery store and my kids have embarrassed me, or I've looked at a mom and said, oh my word, my kids would never do that. The next day, I'm talking not even 24 hours, my son is like pulling the fire alarm or something so far worse. So the Lord has a way of humbling us when we look at other women and size them up and say, I would never do that. Mm-mm. Trust me, the Lord will teach you, and you don't want to be taught that way. All right? Thirdly, we alienate people. Okay, if you're sitting in a circle of women and you're with a critic, it doesn't take you very long to figure out that when you leave to go to the bathroom, she's talking about you. It doesn't take long, does it, to figure that out? So you start alienating people, and that is not a way to stay connected, right? A woman of connection communicates. She's not a wallflower. She's not passive. She speaks the truth in love. But her motives are so different, right? So when I have a friend who I've given permission in my life to say to me, hey, Carla, I don't know that you should be handling that way. I've asked her to do that. But why is she saying that to me? Because she loves me. Because she wants what's best for me. She's not trying to tear me down or take me out. She's communicating with a goal and a purpose for my betterment. And that's what a woman of connection does. It's not that she never opens her mouth or she doesn't point things out. It's she does so with the purpose of love. Philippians 4, 2 through 4 says, agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. It's a beautiful picture of a woman of connection. And the last verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:11b says, so speak encouraging words to another, build up hope, so that you'll all be together in this, no one left out, no one left behind. If you're really feeling disconnected with others today, you have a choice. You have a choice of whether you're going to be a girl of division or a woman of connection. So if you're feeling disconnected today in any area of your life, I would ask you first and foremost to seek God at the place of connection. He's the one that will fill you up with the hope, with the love, with the joy and the peace that you need so that you can connect in healthy and strong ways with others. Lastly, take the next right step and serve on the path of connection. Stay in your lane. Walk with faith, trust God, obey him, and take the next right step. And then lastly, support each other by becoming people of connection. You need to be intentional about surrounding yourself with people of connection so that you can champion, you could cooperate and communicate well with those who are traveling on the same path and in the same way with you. Before I close in prayer and give you an opportunity to make that crucial connection of connecting with God, I wanted to talk a little bit about what I do. And one of the things that I do is I hold connection conferences at churches or retreats. So if you're interested in that, if you're, you know, representing a church here, you have a women's ministry, I would come and do a whole retreat about connection. And so I have some flyers. My mom has them if you're interested in that. But beyond that, I'd love to connect with you personally. And that's one way you can do that, is to sign up. I write every week on my blog at The Crossroads on Mindful Mondays and Faithful Fridays. And if you sign up via email, I don't share your email with anyone else, but you receive those posts in your inbox, in your email inbox. So if that's something. But if you just want to connect with me today, please come up and talk to me after. That is a joy of mine. It's great for me to see your faces and to look out here, but to really connect with you is my passion as well. So please come up and talk to me and make sure. If you're a Facebook person, we could be Facebook friends. You know, I do that too, and you can get my post that way. But like I said, part of my ministry is connecting with other women, so I definitely don't want to leave without giving you the opportunity to do so. But the most important thing here, like I said today, if you really want to be connected in your life, is to connect with Jesus Christ. And that is what made my life so different. And that is what has made me, hopefully, walk this path of connection, is by listening to him and allowing him to guide me and teach me and give me that next right step. So I'd like to close in prayer. And I'm going to pray a prayer for those of you who are really feeling that this morning and maybe not feeling like you're connected with God. And if you've prayed that prayer, if you're already connected to the Lord, then please, you know, take this as a challenge and an encouragement to become a woman of connection and really be intentional about making connections in your life. And if you haven't, I'd love for you to come up and talk with me or anyone on the Outpost team if you prayed that prayer, and we can talk to you further about what that means. So please bow your heads with me. Lord, I just thank you that you're the God of connection, and that when we connect to you, we find our purpose, our passion, our joy, our strength, our peace. And I thank you that you taught me to put you in the center of my life. And by doing that, not always perfectly, you have allowed me to walk a path of connection. And I just pray, Lord, if there's any women today that need to connect to you, that they would just pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God, I feel disconnected to you, and I know there's a hole in my heart because of that. I know that I need to find my way back to you and that you want to connect with me. Please, Lord, meet me at this place of connection. I want to trust you and obey you. I want to believe in Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive me and come and fill me up with his Holy Spirit so that I'm enabled to walk the path of connection and be a woman of connection. God, I thank you that you hear me and you hear all those women that are praying that prayer this moment, and that you have just blessed this group. I pray your entire blessing on Outpost, on every woman that came this morning, that she took something away from you and that she's challenged, encouraged, and inspired. I pray a special blessing, continued blessing on this ministry, on the women that will come throughout the summer, and all the women that you have enabled to make all of this happen. It's in the precious name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you.
What a timely message. Thank you so much for bringing that to us. Boy, that's the truth. Did anybody else receive from that today? I sure did. Well, let's just seal it up then today with this song, Amazing Grace, and My Chains Are Gone. If you know it, you feel free to sing it with me, okay? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught me a heart to fear. and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you this morning. We thank you, God. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Forever mine, you'll be forever mine. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your presence in this room today. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but for a moment I was transported to another place to worship together. What a beautiful, beautiful foretaste of heaven this will be. As I always do at the end of a morning like this, you see a clearly indelible, unforgettable theme. And today, to me, it was connections. Is it any mistake at all that we heard Melody share with us, who is the director of connections at her church, as we think of the connection both vertically and horizontally? Where were we with the first song from Shannon but at the cross? That is pivotal, isn't it, women? It is just pivotal. And yet, as Carla said so well, men isolate, women congregate. And as I watched you this morning, I could see those connections that came from many different places, how you were connecting with someone you hadn't seen for a while. I ran into a woman today that I haven't seen probably for 15 years. And what a sweet reunion that always is. Even as I listened to the women that I didn't know that were before you this morning, I thought of the connections that were there, of just being, I love to sing the Lord and praise Him with my soul and heart. And certainly Shannon blessed us in that way. Melody with her scripture just made me think, oh, Lord, I crave your word. And then Carla, my goodness, now she is noticeably younger than I am. Her Andrew that she loves, her Drew is 21. My Drew is 21. Her Drew is her son. My Drew is my grandson. She also was an English teacher. I didn't know that. Isn't it amazing what you can learn if you listen? It's good for me, a talker, to be forced to listen. I learned more than if I had been talking to Carla, I'm sure. I also learned that she has a wonderful way of relating God's truth of connection. She even uses Waze. She thinks she's not very tech savvy, but she's kind of my hero. Did you see that PowerPoint? Was that not impressive? So there are ways we're different, there are ways we're alike, but that's what causes us to see connections and complement each other, just as the Lord has connected us as a body of believers. So I hope this morning that you have been touched in a deep way by how God connects us, and yet we are nothing without our connection with Him. So as Carla suggested today, you can come up and pray afterwards. If you said that prayer for the first time that she so beautifully stated, this is a book, How God is Good, How God is Good Enough. So this is a booklet that we would love to share with you. I'd also like to invite you to be sure to come back next week when your speaker will be Liz Kleinfeld-Kaiser speaking on her topic, Eating by Faith, A Walk with God, My Eating Disorder from the Inside Out. If you read Carla's blog, or if you've read it already, you'll see some top reasons why she said to come to Oasis. Well, I think we can apply those to Outpost, too. First of all, it's a girls' night out there. It's a girls' morning out for us. You don't have to RSVP. Sometimes that doesn't drive you crazy that, oh, nuts, I can't go. I didn't RSVP. There's no requirements. You just come. You'll meet other real women. We, even though, as Carla said, when we hear her description, she seems very, very one to be noticed and emulated. But she has that real side to her, and we just pray for the real women that you will meet here. So as we leave today, I will give you the same encouragement that Carla did when she first greeted us, that we leave a different person than we came in, that God has touched us in such a way that we can take it out of this room and we can be a woman of connection rather than criticism. Wow, some of that kind of stung, did it to you? It's a good reminder of me to be the sweet aroma by enacting some of the things that Carla mentioned about being a connection. So each of us have our own story that we can share. Each of us can encourage another person we've met today or that we already know. We can make a choice. And I'm so glad that this morning you made the choice to come to be with us. Thank you to all of you for being here. And thank you to the ladies who put this together this morning. God bless. Mm-hmm.